It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Great day to study the Word of God. We're in the book of John, John chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, verse 42. So please open your Bibles. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word. Now let's begin to read John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John at first baptized. There he abode. Many resorted unto him, and said, "John did no miracles, but all the things that John spake of this man were true." Many believed on him there. Let's begin with a word of prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, I thank you that we can come. It's your precious Word is where we'll find the power and the strength. I thank and praise you for it. Please that you'll help us to see and understand, and help all to listen and know that this is your Word. Beginning of Genesis to the end of the Revelation, we should not add to it. We should not take away from it. We need to understand that it's your living Word. It speaks of you, Lord Jesus. It is you speaking, Lord Jesus. Help us to see that. Help us to know that it brings salvation into the heart and soul of the lost, and it will give guidance to those that have come by faith and have been saved to walk a daily life with you, Lord Jesus. Please, Father, guide and lead us now as we study this precious Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at the Word last time we were together, we've just found ourselves into the Scripture verse of verse 27. And in just a quick review, I told you, and that's the words of Jesus. He explains that very clearly, that he has spoken that Word. And then also, not only is it my Word, but also the miracles that I've performed, no man could ever do that, and that's upon your own testimony. And yet they still would not believe. And so we have the Word of God and the witness of God, God's power through these miracles, that should have drawn these people unto the Lord Jesus and trusted him as their Savior. Instead of that, they still stayed away. And he tells them in verse 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And so we need to look at that verse of Scripture, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me." We looked in the past verses of Scripture in this chapter, and we found not only the fold, the sheepfold, being the nation of Israel, but also the calling of the Gentiles that was to come, and that calling we found in the 16th verse, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." So these are ones, the Jews and the Gentiles as well alike are coming, and they're coming because they're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must do the same. You must come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We have three things there. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's what's going to happen when you become a child of God. When you truly are saved and become a Christian, you can become a Christian by confessing your sin, asking the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. That's how you're saved. When you are saved, then you begin to hear His voice. God the Father knows exactly who you are. God the Son knows exactly who you are. God the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart because of the day you were saved, that's what took place. And now the walk begins. And a true believer will follow. No, we can't follow Him perfectly without ever making error or mistake. But we do follow Him. The desire of our life is to follow Him. That's the difference between maybe you and me. If you've never come by faith to the Lord Jesus, do you go back to the time when you met Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you go back to that time? I don't talk about when you joined the church or when you were baptized or any of those things. I'm not talking about some terrible accidents that happened to you and you made God a promise that you would always walk with Him and always serve Him. That's not salvation. Salvation is the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, showing you that you're a lost sinner and you need salvation. You need to be saved, and that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Please that you come by faith to Him and be saved today. If you have not got a time in your life that you know, because I guarantee you, you know the day you meet God. The day that you met Jesus Christ, your Savior, is a day that you'll never forget. Now, once again, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." So you see, once you become a child of God, you hear clearly. You wonder why some people at the Word of God, that they want to add to it and they want to take away from it and move it around. They want to continue to have, there are many, many translations of the Word of God. Each time that I study the Word, I go back and I look into the Greek and to the Hebrew to see what the actual meaning is, because you see the Old Testament was written originally in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. I believe that the King James Version, Old King James, is as close as you're going to come to the original text. So please, that you go to that, search it, read it, study it. This book of John that we're studying now will show you so clearly how to be saved and the need to be saved. Go back to Romans if you'd like. But let the Word of God touch your heart and openly read that. Just sit down and ask God to show you the truth. And I ask clearly today that you'll be saved through that. And you will be, if you'll believe. These people here, He says, "My sheep hear my voice." They could not hear Him because they weren't His. They had never come by faith to Jesus and been saved. Again, maybe that's you, maybe it isn't. But if you've never come by faith and you don't let time, then yes, it involves you. Then we come to the next section. I know them. Very definitely. You're not going to come by some other direction. By any other means will you be able to come. Because God knows who are His and who are not His. And you can put on the best show you ever seen. You can fool everybody. But you will not fool, you will not deceive the God of the heavens. And yes, all the way to your grave, people can confirm that great person, such a helpful person, such a wonderful person, such a religious person, that they're just such a friend to me, thinking without question that that individual is going to heaven. And yet they're not, because they did not receive the free gift of salvation, and they're still in their sin. They died in their sin, and if you die with your sin, you're condemned to the lake of fire. It's that simple. Please that you come. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What happens when you become a true believer? When you honestly have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believed in your heart. When you've done that, truly believed in your heart, then you will desire to follow Him. To follow. And that's what divides. That's what makes the difference. Yes, you can have someone that's going to deceive, and someone that's a phony, and someone that just puts on good clothes and talks right and does all those things, but there's a wickedness in their heart that has not been corrected, and it will never be corrected until they come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So you have those that come along with you, but they're not truly saved. And usually under certain circumstances, and especially if the word is truly preached, if it's preached and presents Jesus Christ as Savior and Savior alone, and explains clearly how to come to the Lord Jesus by faith, and if that call continues to come, it's not long those people will leave. They will not stay in a church that preaches the truth, because they don't like it. They'll try to divide the church, and if they can't accomplish that, they leave. And I praise God that that takes place, because if they desire not the truth, if they don't want to know the truth, then let them go someplace else where they don't care. I don't want them here. I want someone that loves the Word of God, that desires to be saved. If you have a desire to be saved, I promise you, God will send a messenger. There'll be a way for you to be saved if you desire to be. But if you don't, if you want to live the way you're living, act the way you're acting, then just you do it somewhere else. We're too busy here reaching people that want to know Jesus and growing in the Lord Jesus ourselves day by day. They follow me. We follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. So many places today don't even preach about Jesus. They don't talk about Jesus. They don't tell people that Jesus has come to save them. It's kind of a universal salvation. If you attend my church, then you're automatically saved. Well, that's not the case here, nor is it the case anywhere. It's up to you. Personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Those sheep, my sheep hear my voice. Okay. They know me. Okay. Next is they follow me. That's a true sheep. Now look what happens to the true sheep. Look at the exciting picture we have here in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a beautiful section of Scripture here. We look back to John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. Last time we were together, I would like to reread that again, because I want you to see what those verses of Scripture have to say, and then we'll continue in Romans and then down to 1 Peter, because that's where we ended last time we were together. John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Promise of the resurrection, a bodily resurrection, plus we have the joy of the promise of everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's not temporary life. Now, when Jesus Christ promises me something, and he promises me everlasting life if I come by faith to him, he tells me in his word here that I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, in verse 29. We are kept by God the Father, God the Son, sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Now, so many today have a serious problem when you say the word eternal security. Once saved, always saved. There are several names. Here is a verse of Scripture that tells me, by the Word of God, that once I come by faith to Jesus, he will keep me. What has happened through the years, so many folks did not truly come to Jesus. They said the words, but they didn't believe in their heart. And so they served for a little while, and then they were gone. And so people come up with the idea, and this is what people do. They come up with the idea that it undoubtedly they were saved for a little bit, and then they lost their salvation. Well, there's nothing in the Word of God that tells us that how many sins it takes to lose our salvation. We should clearly know that, because one sin will keep us away from God, separated from God, separated from life eternally with him. One sin. So if one sin keeps us from heaven, keeps us from the presence of God, keeps us from fellowshipping with God, one sin, then how many sins does it take after you confess Jesus as your Savior and saved? How many sins does it take to lose your salvation? If one keeps you out, surely one would cast you back into the lake of fire again, back that you're hell-bound, not heaven-bound. You think about that. And it's not just a sin that you knowingly do. It could be something that you didn't even know that you did. So you see, you could be hell-bound and not even know it. What a horrible fear and a terrible way to live. And the Word of God doesn't teach that. The Word of God tells us that we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are told that once we come truly, and yes, there are many people that aren't truly saved. They never were saved. They weren't kind of saved for a while and then lost. They weren't saved. Look at what it says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. There's some results, things that's going to happen when you truly trust in Jesus Christ. And yes, you'll have those that will come. They will be deceivers. They will come amongst you, and they will act right, talk right, work, serve. But if the truth is preached, it's not long that they're going to start a fuss and start division, because they're not going to like the truth very long, because there's convicting power with that, and they're continually being shown by the Word of God that they're still living in their sin. How many sins did it take to be lost? Just one. But you can never be saved and lost. Once you're saved, you're eternally saved. Because, you see, Jesus took all of your sin away. Beautiful. All of your sin. Every one. The sins that you have committed, the sins that you're going to commit, they're all taken away. And that was accomplished by you coming by faith to Jesus Christ. So, well, how could Jesus take sin away that I haven't committed yet? Will you think about what you're saying? When did Jesus pay the price? When did he take your sin away? He did it back on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? He sure did. 2,000 years ago. Now, if he can look forward 2,000 years and see the sin that I have committed to this day, and if today was the day that I'm going to trust in him, why can't he not see the sin of the future? Because that's exactly what all my sins were when he died for them. every sin that he has died for in my life had not been committed yet, and yet he knew them. And he took every sin of every man, woman, and took them to the cross of Calvary and carried them there, paid the price, paid the penalty, because you see, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid the price. He was the only one that could do it, a perfect sacrifice that could do it. Please, that you don't miss that beautiful picture. I give unto them eternal life, everlasting life, not temporary life, not partial life, not a little bit of life, eternal life. That's what he gives me. That's what he gives you if you'll come by faith to him and trust in him, never to be separated again. Let's go back now to Romans. Can't have you miss this, because it's so sad that so many people live in fear all of their life after they've come to Jesus. And many of you folks that live in that fear are constantly afraid. Many of you have come to the Lord Jesus. Many of you have been saved, but you have been taught by man that you can lose your salvation. You know why they teach you that? They've got to scare you into coming to church. I come and serve my God because I love him and I desire to serve him. I don't come out of fear. Why do I live for Jesus? Because I love him, because he first loved me. I want to serve him. And every true believer, what's it say? They follow me, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Please that you don't miss these verses of Scripture. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful promise that we have. Cannot separate us, Paul tells us in Romans. Let's go back now to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, see, I'm just not looking at one verse of Scripture here in John. We looked at another area in John. Now we've looked at Romans. Now we're going to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Are kept. We are kept by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's our salvation. We are not only saved, but we are kept, and kept eternally. What's the Scripture tell us here once again? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Three separate persons, yet one. Scripture is very clear. It's such a joy to walk after the Lord Jesus because he's my Savior. It's so exciting to follow and serve my God, God the Father, and it's so exciting to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit that lives within my heart. What a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ and to walk each day. I hope today that you will come into the family of God, that you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the definition of a Christian is Christ-like. What did the verse of Scripture say? They will follow me. That's the only way that you can be Christ-like, is to follow Jesus. Salvation first. Get your sins forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, and then begin that walk. What a joy we have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. This should have excited the people as they heard these words, knowing the security they have, the ease of coming to the Lord Jesus, just to confess their sin and turn from their ways, just turn from their direction. You see, we're going the opposite way that God desires us to go. And so by us repenting, that's a word that means turn. And so by us repenting, we are turning unto God the Father. When we make that turn, that's all we have to do, is turn around. When we turn around, he has not only drawn us, because the Holy Spirit is calling us, is drawing us by His Word, calling you out to turn. And when you turn, you'll see, Jesus, save me. And He will. Please that you do that today. You'd think again these people would excite Him. Boy, it's wonderful. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Are you liking the truth today? Or are you going to be as these Jews? They took up stones to stone Him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" I have shown you, I have spoke to you, I have performed miracles that no one can ever perform. Which one of these are you holding me responsible for, and you desire to stone me? Which one? The Jews answered Him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Is that the problem you have today? You believe that Jesus Christ lived. You believe that He lived a very good life, a very moral life. And you believe that He was crucified and that He died. But that's about the end of it. You may repeat something that says that He was lived, died, buried, and rose again on the third day. You may repeat something like that. But do you understand what you're saying? And do you recognize that Jesus is God? He is the Son of God. He is equal with God. He is God. Because that's the problem with your heart and your life, is you may believe everything historically that's taken place through the Word of God. You may study this book. You may study it faithfully. But you have missed the point of the Word of God, because the Word of God is, speaks of, points to, and again is, Jesus Christ. And so if you've left Him out, in looking at the sacrifices that were offered, as that was a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we talked last time with Abraham and Isaac, a picture of what was coming. So many things drew this so that people could see the salvation that was going to be brought about, how it was going to be brought about, when it was going to be brought about, everything. And we know that He came up and He came through the door. It says in verse 1, John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Jesus Christ came exactly the way He said He was going to. And the nation of Israel should have recognized that. But you see, these people here, the Jews here, do not recognize Him as God. Everything else is fine. They appreciate His works. They appreciated what was going on. But the thing that bothered them the most, He placed Himself equal with God. And they did not recognize Him to be God. Well, my friend, He is God. He is my living God. He is my Savior. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Will you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved? Will you trust in that precious shed blood that paid the cost, the price for your sin? It was all paid for 2,000 years ago. But, my friend, if you don't accept that free gift of salvation, if you don't hear His voice and turn to Him, it's not going to do you any good. I ask you once again, what are you going to do about Jesus?